The following is a paid program. The claims and opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and not necessarily the views or opinions of WUPS-FM, its staff, or its advertisers.
I met her in a club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like Coca-Cola. C-O-L-A, Coca-Cola.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt. I'm joined by my co-host,
Nikki Morissette.
Nikki, good morning.
Good morning.
What a great day.
Yes, it's a beautiful day.
What a great show.
Yes, it is.
What a great host.
Of course.
And what a great producer.
Yes, I am.
Hey, if you're just tuning in for the first time, what do we say now?
What took you so long?
What took you so long? Well, thanks for tuning in.
Yes, we're glad you're here.
Some people are going to church.
That's true.
What else are they doing?
They're brushing their teeth. They're eating breakfast.
Speaking of brushing the teeth, after the show, I'm buying a new toothbrush.
Don't you still have like a box of 100 left over? Just give them all away.
I know. Those are for our guests when we have a guest
okay.
on the show. So, yeah, we have a whole box of toothbrushes
in my office.
Yeah, a variety
of colors.
Aren't they great?
Yes.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but be sure to change your toothbrush. We should have a dentist as a sponsor of the show.
That would be a good thing.
If there's a dentist out there and you want to sponsor the show, give me a call at 989-772-6000 because I'm all about hygiene.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we know that from your Christmas presents.
Yeah. Oh, I bought some new bath towels. There's something new.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
How are those sheets working out for you, too? Are you still in your sleeping bag?
Still on a sleeping bag. But the bath towel, there's good towels and bad towels.
That's true.
I highly recommend women go to Bed Bath & Beyond, shameless plug, or JCPenney, Target, and get a good quality towel.
Yes.
None of the sandpaper crap.
And none of the cheap ones from the dollar stores because they right. don't absorb any water whatsoever.
What is a dollar store doing to have a sale? Is it a nickel sale? What is that?
And actually, you know, if you walk in a dollar store, not much is a dollar.
I know. It's so misleading. We should open up like a quarter store and everything would be a quarter.
And then we can sell those little styrofoam candy saucers. That's what I remember, the little flying saucers.
Okay.
I want candy.
I remember the little plastic monkey on the ice cream at Frankenmuth when I was a kid. If you get ice cream for dessert, they put a little plastic monkey
really?
On it. But what are you talking about? Saucer?
Yeah, it's a little saucer. It looks like a spaceship, and it has little tiny candy beads inside.
Okay. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, I used to walk there from my grandma's house in Warren to the Penny Candy Store on the corner. 12 and Shaner.
Okay.
Out that way.
I used to love, I was a paper boy.
Okay.
When I was 11, Northgate Apartments, and then I'm in Lincoln Towers. And I used to purchase those really hard candies here and not, I can't remember what they were called, but they were so bad for your teeth. But you're a kid.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, Mary Jane's.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, we're not talking about 420 Mary Jane.
No, we're talking about candy.
Yeah, what was that? Not toffee. It was fudge? Hard fudge.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I don't know. It tastes like plastic now.
Mary Jane. I miss Mary Jane.
Remember those little bottles that had the liquid inside, the wax bottles?
Oh, yeah, the sugar. The liquid sugar.
Yes, or the powdered sugar.
Do you remember,
sticks.
How about Farrell's? Do you remember Farrell's?
Oh, gosh, yes.
What happened to Farrell's?
I don't know. I miss penny candy now.
I just miss candy in general.
But
in fact, for breakfast, I think on top of my Special K, I'm going to sprinkle M&M's for now on. Little mini baby M&M's. They make them for cakes
I know,
and stuff.
Yes.
I'm going to try it out next time.
I want Slow Pokes. I love
Slow Pokes. What was your favorite ice cream when the ice cream man came around?
I would actually get the strawberry shortcake.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I always liked the push-up.
Now, see, I don't care for push-ups. My brother loved the push-ups, but I like the strawberry shortcake.
I like
anything. Or bomb pops.
Bomb pops. Oh, my God. You're killing me with the bomb pops.
Now I want to hear the ice cream man.
I know. I mean, as you got older, the ice cream man became somewhat suspect.
Yeah. Now that you think about it,
I'm just joking. You know what? There's a lot of good, to this day, there's hardworking men and women out there and families who own ice cream trucks that go to some of the festivals.
Yes, they do.
And the fairs and all kinds of stuff.
And actually, when I moved into a place in St. Helen at the end of last winter, and there is an actual ice cream truck that comes down my road. I saw them twice. I was surprised that they were still out there.
That was one of the most exciting parts of spring and summer, hearing that hearing that ice cream.
And running and seeing the ice cream truck keep going.
Did you, where you grew up, because I grew up at 10 Mile, 10 in Greenfield, we had curbs. Did you have a curb in Warren?
Yeah. Well, I lived at in Mount Clemens at 18 in Garfield is the area I grew up in.
Okay. When it rained, my favorite thing was to take a popsicle stick and put it alongside the curb and watch the rainwater, just see how far down the street it would go.
We used to do that.
You did that too?
Yes.
I used to run through my sprinkler. We were so poor, we had two sprinklers, one that went north and south. And one that went side to side. So we had a combination.
I think we all grew up running through sprinklers.
Oh, we grew up.
And that was the best.
How about pool hopping?
Yes.
Dangerous. I would not recommend anyone. There's a lot of people who grew up in the country that listen to the show.
Right.
But when you were where we grew up, houses were on top of each other.
Yeah, they were.
And there were apartment complexes throughout the various cities. Well, maybe one or two households had a pool above the ground or in the ground.
Yep.
And we would, nighttime came along and we're in those pools because we were all peed off because we never were invited to go swimming in the first place.
Right. Yeah, I grew up with a pool. So I had a pool in the backyard that had a slide.
I was in that pool. Was,
so you were the one.
What was it, an in-ground pool?
No, it was above ground.
A circle pool?
Rectangle.
Did you make a whirlpool?
It was hard to do with the rectangle one, but I remember having the round ones, and we used to do that.
How about we used to go
our neighbor?
We used to go to the Waterford Wave Pool.
Really?
Yeah, when the wave pool concept first came about, I thought that was the coolest thing. I was a lifeguard.
Okay.
So I was a swimmer.
Okay.
So, I mean, I felt real comfortable in the water, as I still do. Right. I was a lifeguard at Kensington.
Okay.
And at Lincoln Towers. After I was a paper boy, it was a natural progression. They had a pool. And I thought it'd be a pretty cool thing to tell the women I was a lifeguard. So I went to the YMCA and became certified.
There you go.
Yeah, I was a lifeguard I was a lifeguard in California all throughout college at various locations. Twice I had to save somebody.
Wow. Yeah, I learned something new about you today.
Absolutely. I could still save somebody. It's a certain way that in the water, you got to be very careful because if somebody's drowning or panicking, the strength in their adrenaline will take you down.
Really?
So there's a certain way what you do is, if their feet are all over the place, you swim up underneath them and you do a crawl. You crawl up the body with both arms like you're crawling up a tree.
Yeah.
Like you see these lumberjack with they hug the tree. So you hug them to control their body and calm them down. And then you take your arm and there's a certain technique to put it. I mean, I'm showing you.
Right. Yes.
There's a certain technique that you grab them, so you got their head, and the way you're rolling your body, you're keeping them above water, but you're also controlling their body.
Oh, that's good.
And the other thing is, if somebody, and listeners, here's some lifeguard advice, because I was a lifeguard at the ocean, Kensington Metro Park, and at pools. If somebody is drowning, the worst thing you could do is jump in to save them.
Really?
Because they'll take you down.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I recommend, that's not to say if your child or loved one is drowning, you don't want to jump in and not help them, but you better research what the heck you should do to save that person.
Right, and don't panic yourself.
Have a flotation device. If you're going to be on a watercraft, obviously the law requires flotation devices.
Yes.
The problem is too often people drown because of alcohol.
That's true.
That's where the problem comes. And not only are the person who drowns, and I've had friends, this has happened to a number of my friends over the years. Sadly, I've lost friends to this.
Okay.
Boating and drinking and drowning. But the people on the boat are so intoxicated that they're not in the right frame of mind to pay attention that somebody went overboard.
Oh, yeah.
And you're on these big lakes, and then now what happens?
You don't realize that your friend's gone.
And it could be cold out. The hypothermia sets in.
Right.
There's all sorts of circumstances.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Scary.
As a lifeguard, I used to have to, in the morning, when I was in California as a lifeguard on the ocean, we had to swim in the water. So we'd get up in the morning, like Baywatch.
Uh-huh.
I was at Zuma Beach, up the coast. I just went out there one summer.
Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to go, so I left. Went to California, Zuma Beach. It was great. But the boogie boarding and all that stuff, it was crazy. Oh. But we would have to, and we at Kensington, same thing. We get up very early in the morning and have to swim. And that water was freezing.
Oh, I can imagine.
And rake the seaweed. Let me tell you something. Everyone has, I love eating seaweed, by the way, because I like sushi.
Right.
Different type of seaweed. But when you rake seaweed into these huge piles, the smell is putrid.
Oh, gosh.
Horrible. So if anybody out there has a lake this summer, I will volunteer. Just call me. Call me at the station at WPS. I'll come out and rake your seaweed. Or I got it. I'm going to volunteer to one of the listeners who's listening out there if they have a party on the lake. I will retrain myself, and I'll be I'll get certified, and I'll be the lifeguard for that party.
There you go.
How about that?
That would be awesome.
What a great thing to offer up.
A very good thing.
I'm still in good shape.
Yes, you are.
Very good shape.
Yes.
I mean, I have my coat on.
I know.
It's chilly. I'm wearing I got this in Chicago. It's a Columbia. It's pretty cool.
Looks comfortable.
It's like I wear my sleeping bag that we talk about every week. All my clothing is reflective of my sleeping bag. Even my suits I wear to court, sleeping bag material. They look like suits, but folks, they're not. It's sleeping bag material.
Are you serious?
Not really, but it sounds good. Oh man, but no, listen, water safety, I can't stress how important it is for people of all ages. And the thing that used to piss me off as a lifeguard, especially at Kensington, was that people would show up and expect us lifeguards to be the babysitters of their children. It used to, you couldn't say anything. I was a lifeguard at Kensington. So what I did was I waited tables, I worked three different jobs.
Okay.
Continuously at different times of the week,
right,
different days. I was a lifeguard, waited tables, and delivered pizzas for Domino's continuously from undergrad all through law school. So I had three different jobs.
Right.
So I always had cash in my hand because I waited tables and delivered pizzas. You see?
Yes.
It made sense.
Yes.
Look, my theory was we were so poor. And I was always hungry. And my mom worked hard. I was raised by a single mother. You know that.
Right.
But I always thought, one, I needed a job where I can make money, cash money in my hand. And two, feed myself. Not that we were fed.
Right.
But it makes logical sense. Get a job at a restaurant or deliver some type of food item because you're around food. You can eat. You can snack.
Yes.
Your friends can call in a bad pizza order that doesn't show up. I didn't do that. Who said that?
I don't know who said that.
1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, you guys call that bad pizza, and when I bring it back, I can eat it, and my boss will let me eat it. Okay. I confess. Okay.
All right.
30 minutes or less was a little stressful on my car and body at the time.
That was stressful.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Todd All Love It Law Show.
Who are you?
I am Nikki Morissette. And who are you?
I'm Nikki Morissette. Is that name real?
Yes, it is real.
It's a great. Are you French Canadian?
Yes, I am.
We talk about this a lot.
Yes, I am French Canadian.
What a great. I am a Levette.
Levette.
Levette. How do you like that name?
We have great last names.
Levette.
Sexy last names.
My family. Let's see. I got Zarillis, Pizialis in my family. DiPietros in my family, too.
Hard to say.
Hard to say those names, too. Radner, Gilda Radner was my cousin from
Saturday
Night
Live. Yeah, I remember
that. We talked about that.
Yes.
Okay, it's the end. Look how deep we are into the new year.
Yes.
I received a wedding invitation.
Okay.
I'm not going.
Why?
I don't do weddings.
Okay.
And the reason being is because most of the weddings that I attended ended in divorce. And at my age, 50 years of age, I'm selfish. I want to do what I want to do. I don't have time to show up at some wedding, sit at a table with people I don't know, watching someone else enjoy their moment. It's not my moment. And
right.
In less than 5 years, they're going to be divorced anyway.
But you don't know that.
Oh, I do know that. And it's someone I know, not some of my close friends, but their son is getting married.
Okay.
And I'm going to give them an IOU gift.
No, and, come on, Todd.
No, I'm dead. And I'm so serious right now. And the IOU is you stayed married 5 years. You call me. This is the dollar amount of gift I will buy you. For every year you're married for the next 5 years, my gift, the value will increase.
Well, there's an idea.
You could look, we're busy. Everybody is so busy with children, grandchildren, health reasons, taking care of loved ones out there, running around doing this or that. We have such precious time to ourselves.
Right.
I don't have time. Maybe when I was 20, I had time to go to a wedding. Right now, I'm selfish. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
So I'm giving an IOU.
Okay.
What do you? Because I'm not even going to RSVP, I don't want them spending money on the plate. Because when you go to a wedding, you're supposed to give a gift to cover the cost of the plate. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know it was supposed to be the cost of the plate. I went by how much they gave me at my wedding.
No,
when I did get
married.
No,
that's not the formula. And I think every man out there, men know this stuff. Women don't know this stuff. I don't know. I don't think the women out there know that the men know this stuff. And I don't think the men know that they know this stuff.
I don't think so.
If you're invited to a wedding and planning a wedding, depending upon where the wedding will take place, and you meet with the banquet men and women,
right.
They're going to tell you part of the cost is how much each plate will cost the guest.
Correct.
To feed the guest.
Correct.
Unless it's a buffet.
Right.
Then you're paying for the buffet.
Yes.
And I may still add in the cost. But let's just say you're at a real expensive place and it's $35 a plate.
Okay.
That's expensive.
It's very expensive.
Right. But some people want to do it up and it's going to end in divorce anyway. Why get married? I'm going to get some.
Go to the Justice of the Peace, right?
Justice of the. No, don't even do that. Don't even get married.
I'll go to Vegas.
The only reason to get married is to have kids. Sorry, folks. I'm single. I'm happily single.
Me too.
I'm so happy to be single. You go places and you see married couples. You can just look at their faces. They don't even talk to each other.
I've been there. I'm happy now.
You look happy.
Thank you.
And look, I know plenty of people who are happily married.
So do I.
But I know just as many people, if not more, that should not be married.
That's true also.
And if you're staying married for the kids, it's your choice. But you really want your kids to grow up in that hostile, intense, stressful environment because they're going to think that's what marriage is about and they're going to end up marrying someone and their expectations are like that.
That's true. Don't do it.
Don't do it. So my friend's son is marrying. The only reason why I might go to this wedding is because the young lady that this young man is marrying, her name is Lola.
Okay.
And I love the Kinks.
All right.
And I would love to see if their wedding song had anything to do with Lola.
I met her in a club down in North Soho where you drink champagne and it tastes like Coca-Cola. C-O-L-A Cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her.
Lola. I love the Kinks. You like the Kinks?
Yes, I do.
God, when I was growing up, we grew up the same time, as did a lot of the listeners. One of the songs that in my memory bank that I heard all the time was Lola, The Doors, because I was born in 65.
Okay.
So The Doors, always heard The Doors. The Kinks were huge.
Yes.
Massive. Who else do you recall from your childhood? We're close
to
the same age.
Jay Giles,
man.
I used to have their 8-track.
8-track tapes?
Yes.
How about the Steve Miller Band?
Yes.
Love Steve Miller.
And then I grew up hearing Bob Seger.
Bob's a ton of Bob. Well, Bob's from Metro Detroit.
Yes, he is.
And in fact, his brother used to own a store on Northwestern Highway when I practiced law, and I used to drive up and down and see his brother walking out of his store.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Right near Franklin Road. Yeah. Bob Seger was always around.
Yeah, and then my mom always liked to listen to Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond, yep. And but when I was in high school, AC/DC at Berkeley High and Led Zeppelin was everywhere.
And see, in the crowd I hung out with in high school, we liked Prince and Morris Day.
Oh, I love. Oh, gosh. Well, no, I'm a. We talked about this. I had a purple shirt on last week. I'm a huge Prince guy.
Yep.
Morris Day and the Time were outstanding. I saw Prince in concert.
So did I.
Wham! George Michael Wham.
Yes.
Oh wow, Nikki, you're coming out of the box there with that Wham stuff. That's pretty cool there, Nikki.
Yeah, that's what I listened to in high school, and then all of a sudden, you know, you switch crowds, and then we got into the AC/DC and. Ozzy.
I didn't start off as a hardcore rocker. I was more into the dance music. Yep. But when you would go to Spanky's or one of those dance clubs and Jay Giles' band would come on, you didn't know how to dance to that.
No, you're right. You don't. You need Prince in order to dance.
My favorite thing about you needed Prince. Or when the Gap Band came out.
Oh,
remember
gosh.
The Gap Band?
Wow.
Or Kool and the Gang?
Yes.
Okay, back to the wedding issue.
Okay.
I know we're a law show, folks, but I want to beef here a little bit. Who out there? I need to talk to Jim Pashaw because Jim's a good friend of mine.
Okay.
He owns Sound Productions. He owns real estate. Jim's Auto Body Shop. I take all my vehicles to Jim's Auto Body Shop. Nowhere else.
Okay.
Love Pashaw. Big shout out to Jim Pashaw and everyone that works for Jim. Great people. Great guy. Love nothing but love. But he also owns a huge company. If you have a wedding or a party, call Sound Productions in Clare.
I've heard of them.
No, the best of the best.
Okay.
I need to talk to Jim because someone has to start a trend to do away with all these wedding songs. Celebration, the chicken dance, you know, let's just do a different. I think you should get, are you ready for this? A stripper pole at all weddings,
gosh.
Not for the bride or the bridesmaids, but the married women and the aunts and the grandmothers. Now, to me, that would be a fun wedding. And you know what? The men, if the men want to go up there and jump on the pole, go jump on the pole. That's all I'm saying.
Kind of dangerous with alcohol at a wedding.
No, you'd have a wrestling
mat.
You'd have a wrestling
there.
Mat. Enough of the chicken dance. I don't want to see people doing the chicken dance at weddings. I want to see poles. Okay? I want to see some fun. Enough of that. No, but enough of this standard, boring.
I never had the chicken dance at mine.
No,
so
just for a disclaimer, Sound Productions, I've been to a number of their weddings and events. They're different. They do a great job.
Good.
We're just talking in general, not about any specific company doing anything, but DJs out there or wedding planners, enough already. You're boring the heck out of all us wedding goers.
Yeah, even the hokey pokey. That's always at every wedding, too.
Enough of the hokey pokey.
I know.
Enough of the snowball dance. People don't want to dance. I don't mind dancing.
I had the dinosaur at mine.
You had the what?
Everyone walked the dinosaur.
You know what? If I had kids that were getting married at this point, I would do something like Limp Bizkit and have a mosh pit. I don't know if the kids of this generation would even know what a mosh pit is.
I think some of them would.
I would, like Korn. I was a big Korn fan.
I have a couple friends who are really big Korn fans.
And I was in my early 30s going to these concerts like Lollapalooza.
Okay.
I traveled all over Midwest following Lollapalooza and that stuff, Nine Inch Nails, Limp Bizkit, all that hardcore, you know, like Disturbed. Disturbed came someone after, but I would have a mosh pit at my wedding.
Okay.
I'm just saying. So back full circle, I'm not going to that wedding.
All right.
There's no way. I'm just saying. It's not happening. I don't care if he is marrying someone named Lola. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show featuring the Kinks and Nikki Morissette. Nikki, can you sing?
I don't think you want to lose the rest of your listeners.
Our listeners. Hey, listen. I have to talk about something that happened to me last week.
Okay, what happened?
I got kicked out of a casino.
Oh, no. What'd you do?
I stood up and yelled bingo. When I didn't have bingo.
Nice.
It's a true story.
Nice.
I'm not making this up. As a kid, the old timers used to drag me to bingo.
Really? I feel sorry for you.
In Windsor, because you could gamble in those days at the Windsor bingo halls.
Okay.
I hated going. And, they would take their, I don't know, back then, I don't think they had the markers. When you see people playing massive bingo, they're playing like 10 different bingo boards.
Yeah, I know.
It was torture. I'm at a casino way up north, nothing in mid-Michigan, I was with some friends. They wanted to go play bingo. Don't ask why.
Okay.
And right away I told them the story. I do not like bingo. It has painful memories.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I can see why.
So we're halfway through the bingo, and it's electronic bingo. They don't even roll the ball.
Oh.
Well, there's hundreds of people there.
Right.
I just stood up. I didn't yell it, and I just said, bingo. And as to imply, because there's two ways to say bingo. Either you're saying bingo because you won, or something just happened and it's a good thing and you go, bingo, right? Figure speech. I use a little of both. People looked at me. The whole place went up in arms. I had to leave the casino.
Wow.
I did not get escorted out of the casino, nor did I get arrested.
Trouble.
No, I just got some looks, and the elderly people that, all the retired people on the buses were playing bingo, because most of the people in there are getting Social Security or they're playing with the retirement.
Right.
I was with a friend and their family members who were up from downstate, and we were way up in the UP, I'll just put it that way. And I always wanted to say bingo. I wasn't even playing. I just went, bingo.
See the trouble you caused?
Okay, it was loud. It was a loud bingo.
Yeah.
It was quite loud. Hey, we got some response from a previous show when we were talking about dogs.
Okay.
We were talking about how there's a new law now where dogs. Remember we were talking about the dogs a couple weeks ago?
Well, the service dogs.
Service dogs, yeah. Yes. We were talking about powdered alcohol.
Yep.
We were talking about service dogs. So, yeah, we got a call from someone, and they have a service dog. And so they thanked us for that information. And just to sort of, I don't want to bore the listeners, but January 18th, it's now a crime to deny entry or service to a person using a service animal.
That is really great news. It really is.
I think it should be a felony for anybody that illegally parks in handicapped parking spots.
I believe in that too.
I think 50% of people that have those stickers are scamming the system.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Nothing pisses me off more.
Or using a family member's sticker.
Yeah, just to get a good parking spot.
Yes. I don't agree with that either, because you're taking the place of somebody who actually needs it.
I've been in that position before when I was snowboarding and broke my feet. I had to have surgery on both feet. And you really need those upfront spaces.
Yes, you do. You would.
It used to be in the state of Michigan, I'd have to look this up, that in order for a handicapped spot to be a valid parking spot, you could not just have it marked and painted on the cement. It had to be a sign.
Yes. That's what I look for, is a sign. Because
no, but did you hear what I said? It used to be, back in the 90s, if you pulled up to a building, an office building, oh, wow.
Oops.
It's story time.
Sorry.
Nikki's phone. Whoa, Nikki, what's going on there? What's going on, Nikki Morris said. No, it used to be, I'll have to look this up for a future show, that if you pull, first of all, I would never park in a handicapped parking spot, even if it was on just painted on the cement. What I'm saying is, I believe, and I'm pretty accurate here, I think I'm correct, that if you pull to legally, in order for it to be a handicapped spot, there has to be a sign attached to a building or on a pole.
Okay.
You can't just have it on the floor, painted on the ground.
Well, no, because half the time you can't see that.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I can still see, and I still would not park in those spots out of respect.
Right.
Because I didn't, even though I knew what the law was.
Yes.
It's like when the seatbelt law first changed, the law did not specifically state anything about the shoulder belt.
Oh.
So if you got pulled over and you had your lap belt on, you could successfully argue that you had your seatbelt on, because the law was not amended yet to include the strap belts.
I had a car that only had the lap belt.
Yeah. Because those cars came out later where you would close the door and the thing would automatically come right around your shoulder.
I don't like those.
I don't like that either. Hey, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Todd's Rock Block right here on Sunday morning. I mean, growing up with Arthur Penhallow, I remember Wolfman Jack.
Oh, yeah.
I always wanted to be a DJ. I want to have Todd's Rock Block just like this. Hey, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Nikki and Todd's Rock Block. We are going to just, we're just going to thrash it out for the next hour. So let's start off with, you know, into some CCR.
There we go.
CCR, Clarence Clearwater. Oh, yeah, CCR.
Yeah, great music.
Absolutely. I mean, I would just destroy it if I had a rock show. It would be a throwback. It wouldn't be, you know, all right, listeners, thanks for tuning in. I'm going to play you some Barry Manilow.
Oh, please don't.
Oh, not
don't.
At all. It would be like this really fast. I would talk really fast and, hey, thanks for tuning in today for the next hour. We're going to thrash it. We're going to crash it. We're going to turn it, and we're going to burn it right here. And I'm attorney Todd Levin on Todd's Rock Block. Boom. But I would start off at the first the beginning of the show, like building it up.
Okay.
If you have a show, I'm just thinking in my own mind, you're going to get people feeling good. Because when you play music, you don't want to play. You don't want to get people feeling good. Their adrenaline's going. And then all of a sudden, you know, you slow it down.
Yeah. No. You got to start slow.
You start slow. You build, and by the end of the show, you're just destroying it.
That's the way to do it.
Guns N' Roses would be at the peak. Welcome to the Jungle.
Yes.
Sweet Child of Mine.
Those are great songs.
Oh, yeah. Yes. They're supposed to be getting back together.
Really?
Yeah, we are a law show, but we're talking a lot about everything but law today.
Of course, I hear that.
You hear that from people?
Oh, gosh.
What do you mean you hear that?
I'm hearing you talk about everything but law.
Because
we need to change it up every now and then.
Every now and then we need to change it up, and we provide the listeners with all kinds of legal information. In fact, today we were talking about handicapped parking spots.
Yes.
We were talking a little bit about
the service dogs,
right?
So we did touch on some law.
We were talking about how I don't attend weddings, and I think a lot of listeners will agree with me.
Yeah, some will.
Yep.
I'll attend.
Here's some advice for the listeners. I think today, I think today, when you go home, clean out your cabinets. Oh, my phone is going off there. I think people should clean out their cabinets and refrigerators. I mean, how long does the condiments need to really sit in salad dressing bottles in those refrigerators?
Oh, yeah. You have to check expiration dates. Actually, I clean out my, once a month.
How about the freezer? How long have some of those frozen goods been in there? How about the bag of peas that you never ate? It's as solid as a brick of ice now.
I actually tell you the truth, vegetables last long in my freezer. I eat them.
Am I the only guy that has products that have been in there for 3-4 years?
I think so, because I don't.
They're doing scientific experiments on them?
Oh, yeah, you need to clean out yours and check the expiration.
Oh, I do. Everything's organized. I'm very organized.
My kitchen is very organized, too. I have to have everything in its place.
Oh, absolutely. You don't want to put like chicken products with other type of products because of salmonella issues.
Correct.
So if you go to a grocery store, they will always bag the meat separate.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
Yes.
And it's for, I think, health concerns.
Yes, it is. You don't want to get sick and people die.
Absolutely. What really upsets me is when you're checking out at a cash register and you're at the register, your groceries are on the conveyor belt, the ladies are already pushing them forward to be bagged and whatnot, and then she coughs or sneezes. And now she's touching your food. How do you get out of it? You're stuck.
You're stuck.
If I was in line, albeit people behind me, I would say, excuse me, I forgot something.
Yeah, aren't they supposed to like cough in their sleeve or sneeze into the sleeve?
People never do that.
That's what they're supposed to do.
That's disgusting.
Yes.
Think about that.
But it's better than sneezing or coughing on their hands and touching
your
stuff.
No, I'm saying they are.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I don't know.
What would you do? It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oof.
Ask them if they have hand sanitizer.
Should we just end the show? End the show and go home at this point? I'm kind of disgusted.
And I'm going to Walmart after this.
Are you really? What are you going to do at Walmart?
I have to go buy a box of dog bones for my dog and cat treats.
You have a dog and a cat?
Yes, I do.
What's the name of your cat, Kitty?
Oliver.
Oliver?
Yep, his name is Oliver, and I'm telling you, he's the ruler of the house.
That's a cute name for a cat.
He's a big orange cat, and he beats up my dog.
What kind of dog? My dog. No cat's beating up my dog.
No, I don't think so. No, I have the American Pit Bull Terrier, and she's my baby, and Oliver rules the house.
My dog likes to chase deer and rabbits.
I think every dog likes. Got so many squirrels. Yeah, my dog likes to chase the squirrels out of the yard.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. So she's whining at the door wall to go out to chase a squirrel up the tree.
I have some law to talk about.
Okay, let's go.
As soon as we come back from break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in, what took you so long? I know. Where have you been?
Yeah.
Well, you know, people, there's those who are always tuned in to 98.5 WUPS.
Correct.
And there's a great app. You can download the app from the App Store or just listen online.
Yes.
There are those that are just changing the dial and hear someone speaking. They may be from another part of the state and they don't even know what 98.5 is.
That's true.
And they want to tune in because they hear something interesting.
Yes.
Then there are those who maybe someone said, hey, you got to listen to this show because it's so OCD, ADD, XYZ, LMNOP. Because you never know what we're going to say next.
That's true.
Now, truth be told, this show, if I had to describe what the show really is, first it's entertaining.
Yes.
It's Sunday morning. I've always been I've always wanted to make people laugh.
And you do.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a comedy writer for Saturday Night Live. That I wanted to go to college, become an English major, and get a job at SNL.
Really?
Absolutely.
Well, there's a new tidbit of information there.
So, we are organized during the week. I have law clerks that research topics and stories, and I'll pick and choose. By the way, I have my dog in studio again. So I just, a moment ago, there was a pause. That's because my dog needed some attention there.
Yes.
My German Shepherd is with me. I don't take the other dog with me. He doesn't like to go places. Okay. But we are organized, but a lot of things are just off the top of our heads.
Right.
Because that's how we are.
Well, yeah.
People don't want fake.
No.
They don't want to be sugar-coated. They want the real deal Holyfield.
Correct.
And that's who we are.
Yes, we are.
And I am attorney Todd L. Levitt, and I am a criminal defense attorney. I do practice from the top of the UP, Copper Harbor, Houghton, Hancock, all the way down to St. John's, to Lansing, to Mason. No longer do I hang out in Metro Detroit and practice. 12 years, I got burnt out.
Yeah, that would.
And I'm also teamed up now with John Marco, attorney at law, who is one of the best personal auto injury lawyers in the state. So if you have any of those issues, call my office, 989-772-6000. I specialize in driver's license restoration and Canadian rehabilitation. Those who have certain criminal convictions and want to gain entry into Canada, there's a number of things you can do.
Yes.
After 10 years, you're deemed rehabilitated. After 5 years from the termination of your sentence, you can go through the rehabilitation process, and there's something called a temporary resident permit, a TRP. So there's many options for folks out there who want to enter Canada on a very temporary basis with a TRP, or they want to spend a lot of time in Canada, at which point I would say after 5 years from the termination of your probation that you contact my office and we'll help you get rehabilitated and get you back into Canada.
Yes, that's
great.
It's a
very long, extensive process, though.
Sounds like it.
Canada is very specific. They want Canadian lawyers handling Canadian issues.
Okay.
Albeit, you can go online, folks, and all the documents that you would need in order to gain entry into Canada are on the Canadian government website. But what I would recommend is feel free to call my office at 989-772-6000. I'll put you in touch with someone I've teamed up with, attorney David Rosenblatt out of Toronto, who specializes in Canadian immigration. And through myself, I can't practice in Canada, but through my first consultation to see if you're eligible or qualified, I don't want to waste your time or money.
Right.
I'll then refer you to David. I'm not going to send him garbage.
Correct.
Lawyers do that. Let me let something out of the bag here.
Okay.
So, you know, it doesn't happen too often, but it does happen. Someone will call your office and it's just garbage. Now, I'm not saying that clients who call my office, their cases are garbage, but one out of a thousand, there's just, it's just kind of a quirky situation. There's no need to hire a lawyer. And you, that person got referred to you from another lawyer. Now, the other lawyer who originally took the phone call knew there was not a case there, knew that there was nothing they could do for the person, but it's a garbage dump. They just, they didn't want to spend the time to give the proper attention as I do to those people. I still give them attention.
Right.
So they say, hey, call my friend Todd Levitt. He'll help you out. No. You don't do that to anyone.
No, you shouldn't.
Now, if you have a case and you call me, and albeit you may not have any recourse, and it might be something that you don't understand the law, obviously, and I'll explain it to you, and I'll take the time and respect you and give you as much information as I can. I don't specialize. I only specialize in certain areas.
Right.
And I'll tell people I'm not qualified to give you family law advice or probate and will advice. I will not do that, or tax law advice. I don't specialize in it. Why would I? Why am I going to end up hurting you?
Right.
I'll refer it to somebody.
Correct.
But if a case comes to me as a criminal defense attorney, and I interview that person and there's nothing there, the last thing I'm going to do is dump it off on my friend say, "Well, call this person." No, it's called a garbage dump, and it and nothing pees me off more as a lawyer. One, because I'm upset about the client because that lawyer didn't take the time to properly interview, ask questions, and give good free representation, pro bono representation. A lot of lawyers charge consultation fees. I'm proud to say I do not.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, when you call a criminal defense attorney, they will. So a lot of them will charge consultation fees. And these are some of the best attorneys out there. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I am one of the best attorneys out there, and I would never charge a consultation fee.
I think that's good for the listeners to know that.
But why would I just can't justify it.
No.
Are you that money hungry that you have to charge a consultation fee?
And if you don't take the case, you just took money for something that you're not going to help them with.
Give the person a 5-10 minute consultation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you not an attorney and counselor, folks? I've never charged consultation fees.
That's great. That's the way to be.
Now, I'm not going to spend an hour on the phone talking to you because I have retained clients who need my attention.
Right. But there's nothing wrong with 10 or 15 minutes.
I've been doing a lot of work out of Midland, Grayling, Gaylord lately, Big Rapids, Roscommon.
Okay.
I get to all those courts. West Branch, down to Ithaca. I like those courts. I've been down to Stanton.
Wow.
Standish. I don't go to Standish. My buddy Rick Volbach, he's a judge in Standish now. Judge Volbach.
Okay.
From Rochester Hills. We went to Detroit College of Law together, and he's a great judge. He was a city attorney. He handled that canoe case back in the 90s where somebody was swearing on the river and he prosecuted them. It got national attention. Do you remember that case?
Oh, my gosh, yes. That was a long time ago.
My good buddy Judge Richard Volbach, my buddy from law school, we used to sit next to each other. I love that guy. If anybody knows Judge Volbach, tell him Todd L. Levitt has nothing but love and admiration for him.
There you go.
All my friends are judges now all over the state because we've been practicing for so long.
Right.
Oh, my buddy Jimmy Plakis is now the judge in the 35th in Plymouth, Northville, Canton. I've always been friends with judges, but now my guys are the judges. You follow me?
Yes.
Westland, Mark McConnell, 52-1 District Court, Novi, my good buddy Travis Reeds, David Law. I'm covered everywhere.
Yes, you
my
are.
Buddy Eric Smith, who went to CMU with me in law school, is the Macomb County prosecutor.
Wow.
Eric and I were brothers, man. we were in rival fraternity. He's a great prosecutor. Big shout out to Eric Smith. I love you, Eric. Judge Sierowski in Sterling Heights is a friend of mine.
Okay.
Got friends everywhere.
Yes, you do.
I consider all the judges in Mid-Michigan to be my friends, but I'm not single them out because I don't want to create a mindset out there that all these judges are my personal friends.
Right.
That's why I'm only calling out the judges in Metro Detroit where I don't practice. Although Volbach is my buddy from law school.
Yeah.
Nothing but love for him. Hey, I got some more law here to get through. Quick update, and then we're going to take off for the weekend.
Yeah.
You had a question for me.
Yeah. You were talking, not too long ago about the series on Netflix, Making of a Murderer.
Okay.
Making a Murderer. Have you finished that series yet?
All right. There's 10 episodes. Making of a Murderer. Steve Avery, wrongly convicted of raping a woman.
Yeah.
DNA exonerated him. Then while the producers were filming, a murder took place on his family's auto salvage lot.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back to prison. His nephew goes to prison. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, that is one of the most tragic. That case, that 10 episode series should be shown in every law school in the country. It is the most tragic, sad case I've ever witnessed. I don't want to talk too much about it because I want them to go check it out.
Right.
Making of a murderer. You will be shocked. You will be disgusted. You'll be sickened at not only the lawyers, not his lawyers, but some of these court-appointed lawyers who were appointed to represent Mr. Avery's nephew, and the investigators, and the handling of all the evidence, and the inconsistencies with the police and law enforcement and the prosecutors. It's so the judge, the rulings on the motions. You would think it's so surreal. Has this actually taken place in America? And this man and his nephew are innocent, period. I'm not going to say who I think committed the crime because I don't want to ruin it for the listeners.
Right. Wow.
Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
I want to give my quick opinion on Ted Cruz.
Okay.
Is he or is he not a natural born citizen under the Constitution? Absolutely, unequivocally, the Constitution provides that if you're in another country and your mother is a citizen and you're born in another country, you're a natural born citizen. How about all the military men and women around the world who give birth on military bases?
Yeah.
Their children can come back to this country. They're natural born citizens. They can run for office.
Right.
Ted Cruz's mother was in Canada. She gave birth to him. The guy's a natural born citizen, for God's sakes.
Yes.
And I'm going to go on a limb right now. I'm going to say this. Some of my ancestors who came from Italy could probably have ran this country a hell of a lot better than a lot of the presidents and men and women in Congress and Lansing that were born here.
I feel the same about my family.
So I think there should be some changes to the Constitution. Just because someone's born in Ireland or Scotland. I have a friend who's an attorney from Scotland. He came here. He was born in Scotland. He's an attorney, not in this state. He's so brilliant. He is so smart. I would vote this guy as president of the United States in a heartbeat. There should be like a time period and certain qualifications.
There should be.
I'm just saying. Just because you're born here, I mean, I'm an American. I'm as patriotic as the next person. I'm a big military guy.
Right.
But my point is, if you're in a position where you can do good for this country, then I'm all for it.
Well, yeah, of course.
That's all I'm saying.
We all should be all for it if you're going to do something good.
Absolutely. So that's my opinion on Ted Cruz. Okay?
Okay.
And there's an update on Making of a Murderer.
Yes.
And that's all I got for today.
It was a great show.
It was a great show. I think we're going to end the show with some Lola.
There we go.
Yeah, listen, as I say it every week, we were born to live. Get out there and live. Reinvent yourself. Do something every day that makes you happy. Just pick one thing a day that makes you happy and do it.
Yes.
And as far as weddings, take my advice, write an IOU. Great show, Nikki.
Great show.
Until next week, I'd like to thank our sponsors.
Yes.
I'm not just a litigator.
You're an advocator.
We're out of here.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.